Attempt blocked by McNabb. To the right circle, a try. Kick, save Hill. Rebound, another try, save Hill. A third try, save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bob boots it ahead, sticks it left. Barbashev in. Back to the right, a shot. Score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show. Darren Millard on the line now, and I always forget it. Sticks down, pucks down. Help me out, buddy.
Sticks down, drop the puck.
Sticks down, drop the puck. Here we go. Hour number two of the VGK Insider.
Did we not go through this the other day?
Yeah,
like
but
2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
All right. In the studio right now,
yes.
Where you are. I'm at Studio 31.
Yes.
You're in the... Fox Sports Las Vegas studio, Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio. Do you have a pen around or a marker or a Sharpie or anything?
I do have a pen, yes.
Okay.
I should just write that down.
Huh? Do you have a piece of paper?
Yes, I have access
All right.
to a piece of paper.
Okay. Sticks down, drop the puck.
Okay. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
Hey, there it is. It's five words. Two phrases. Sticks down, drop the puck.
I'm writing it. I just grabbed
just
my pen.
Think of yourself as a linesman or a referee. Sticks down, let's drop the puck.
By the way, my pen, yeah. Circa.
No way.
Yeah, Circa pen.
Big watch party coming up on Monday.
Yeah?
At Circa for game one of the Vegas Golden Knights against the Dallas Stars. You were on the air last night at the same time that I was. You were doing the post-game show. And I was doing the post-game show on Scripps Sports with Darren Elliott and Derek Englund. And I love those nights where it just becomes the show takes over its own identity. And that's what happened last night. You could not prepare for that at all. And I'm one that is an uber person that loves to prepare and leaves no stone unturned. Shane Addy loves to make fun of all my little notes and different things that I can draw upon. Part of it because I don't have a good memory, and the other part is I just want to be able to, if something happens, be able to lean on. Last night, you couldn't prepare for what happened in the final period of the Golden Knights game at T-Mobile Arena, and then for the next 25 minutes following the conclusion of that game involving the Los Angeles Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. I've never been in that situation where I don't have a monitor in front of me watching that contest at crypto.com. I'm going off the internet and trying to keep up to date and waiting to see whether Vegas is going to Edmonton or is going to play the Dallas Stars. And it looked like it was lock, stock, and barrel, like just dialed in. It was going to be the Dallas Stars because LA had this lead.
Right.
And Chicago, which had like seven shots through two periods, somehow scores in three shots and they take a lead. It was
they were up 4-3 with like 2 minutes ago.
It was surreal, and you're trying to explain this. Well, we were doing a pseudo playoff preview show at the end of that game last night, and trying to offer up the Golden Knights angle, but also keep people apprised as to what the first round matchup was going to be, and then subsequently when it was going to take place or when the series was going to start. And Chicago comes all the way back, and it looks like Vegas was going to face Edmonton again. So they went into the night facing Edmonton. Then it looked like it was going to be Dallas, and it was almost guaranteed. Then it went back to Edmonton, and at the end, the Los Angeles Kings find a way to rescue a result, and all they needed was a single point with the Golden Knights loss, and it secured the Golden Knights rematch against the Dallas Stars. It was a lot of fun to work with Elliott and England, and I left that. And there wasn't a time with those guys because we had goaltending, we had Marchessault, we had the line combinations, potential defensive setup, all kinds of storylines to dig into as we were at the same time following this unpredictable, unexpected transaction at crypto.com.
Yeah, how difficult is it because of what's going on behind you as well, down on the ice with the player awards and...
You know what, you don't even notice it Chappie.
Really?
Because I'm looking at the camera, right? Uh-huh. And I've got a monitor, and our great director, Joel Myers, is doing a split screen showing the giveaway of the shirts off the back. We're not commenting on every player. Like, if there wasn't storylines to follow, we would have discussed, oh, Aiden Hill's giving his jersey. Look at that, how excited the fan. Like, we would have walked through a lot of that because yeah. I think that is important to recognize some of the emotion that comes from the fans. But there is just so much to dive into from last night and the different things that were still on the line or were pertinent last night that we just talked about what was happening and digesting what had just occurred on the ice with the result and then Marchessault's quest and Aiden Hill's returning to the lineup. So there's a lot to get to. So I didn't find that distracting at all. It was just more trying to balance what was looking ahead to the playoffs with what was occurring in Los Angeles and was impacting where Vegas was going to play. And Wi-Fi isn't always like totally
the most
up
reliable.
To date.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was getting these updates and you never know. Here's one thing that I'll let people in. You'll get an update on NHL.com of a goal being scored. And I don't know whether this has ever happened to you, Chappie. But it did occur last night in Los Angeles.
Yes, second period.
A goal is scored, and Chicago went up 2-1. And if we'd been on, if that would have been in the postgame show, I would have automatically said, oh, Chicago's just scored, Jason Dickinson, and it's 2-1. But then you refresh, and the goal, it's 1-1. And you're not watching it live, so you can't fully grasp what occurred, but the goal came off the board. So that takes a while. So thankfully, all the goals that were scored and the wild flip-flop of that game in the third period at Crypto had goals that were able to stand. So when you're updating people, they were actually legitimate updates. It's funny because you almost have to take a pause when you see that, because there's nothing that comes up on your app where it says play is under review. It just, it's there and then it's not there. So it was a strange one last night.
I was lucky because that transpired during the intermission, but it was right after I had signed off for the last segment of the second intermission.
Yeah,
and we were
right.
Getting ready to hand it off to Dan and Gary in the booth. But we were in commercial break, and I said to myself, oh, Chicago's up. They're up 2-1.
I wish I could go back and update people.
Yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, I refresh, and it's 1-1. Do you know why the goal was called back? Because they don't tell us that on NHL.com. Because I follow on the media site. So yeah. I didn't see why it was called back. But I'm glad that
it's surreal. And then we're also waiting for post-game reaction, right? The players and coaches. During that stage where the players have given the shirt off their back, they've gone to the room, and we're waiting for reaction to what occurred last night. But they're doing the same thing we were doing, keeping track of L.A. and Chicago. So the players were a little later than normal coming out, which made perfect sense. I forgot to tell Nate Ewell, Garrett Calloway, Andy Shea, it was a great, I don't know whose idea it was. PR department's pretty smart, but not to bring out players until after they knew exactly where they were going, because it was all speculation. But I fully expected players to be out a little bit earlier, but it made sense that they would watch that game and see who they were going to play before they spoke to the media. So tip of the cap to our great PR department.
Yeah, and it just so happened as well that we had the festivities on the ice, so we were pretty close to seeing the end of at least the final score of that game before Bruce came out and talked to the media. And I think he said that they were watching it in the back.
Yeah.
And
players, coaches were in the coach's office. The players were in the players' lounge.
But nonetheless, it was wild because L.A. scores, and when you make it 4-4, you're thinking, oh, no, this is over. It's going to be Dallas. But you didn't know if there was going to be another twist and turn along the way. And by the way, Los Angeles made quick work of Chicago in that overtime, 6 seconds into the overtime period to win that game. But that didn't matter.
Did you see
the
goal?
No.
By Campe?
No. I'm not shocked it was him, though.
Okay. Here's the thing. In the next commercial break,
okay,
I want you to go watch the overtime goal between L.A. and Chicago. Because it was scored 6 seconds into overtime. And I want your honest opinion, because 6 seconds sounds like snap of a finger in hockey. But I watch it and go, that's a pretty drawn-out play for 6 seconds. I was anticipating seeing a goal with the puck dropped and six down, drop the puck, and go straight forward with it, and you score.
Yeah.
But it was, this will sound strange, a long 6 seconds for that puck to go in. So that's your assignment during the next commercial break. Vegas is going to take on Dallas. It's a rematch of the conference final, but they'll meet in the first round this time around. So a similarity there. A little bit of a different look is going to be that Vegas is in the exact opposite position than they were to open up last year's playoffs. They'll be on the road, and they are wild card two this time, facing the Western Conference's top seed in the Dallas Stars. A year ago, it was Vegas, number one, with the pennant, and it was Winnipeg, wild card number two. So a different type of challenge coming up for the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's all courtesy of the loss against Anaheim, coupled with the win or the single point that LA was able to acquire and then put the winning goal in by Los Angeles. I'm with the players that I don't think that they cared at all who they were going to play. Like it's that confident of a team. And the other part is they're both really good hockey clubs that you could have potentially faced in Edmonton and Dallas, and they're built totally different. Dallas has got depth. They've got a great four lines. They've got a pretty good blue line and outstanding goaltending. Edmonton is front-loaded. Blue line's not as great. They've got a good goaltender, but their talent is high-end with that three-headed monster. They have had three different 50-goal scorers in the last 3 years. That's incredible. From an Edmonton Oilers perspective, I think the media attention is dramatically different, though, from a Canadian market, a hockey starved, championship starved nation, and then a market with all kinds of expectations to a team that just went about its business very methodically this year, and we're able to put together the best season. So that might be a bit of a difference, but they're both pretty good hockey clubs.
Yeah, Dallas is loaded. Six guys with 66 or with 60 points or more. You mentioned the goaltending, obviously Jake Oettinger, one of the better goalies in the NHL. Their blue line is really good. Miro Heiskanen is a fantastic player for them.
Don't forget Chris Tanev.
Yeah, that was a really big acquisition for them at
Tanev
the deadline.
Tanev came from Calgary, and Hanifin came from Calgary. And they're really tight. They played a lot together. And now they're going to go head-to-head.
Was that the pairing in Calgary?
They did play together.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how long they played together, but there's some familiarity there with them. I'll do some checking on that. I started deeper into my playoff prep today. But When you look at what Dallas is going to offer, net front presence, Joe Pavelski, okay, that's there. The other part is Pavelski and Hurdle. They know each other really well.
Yeah.
Hanifin and Tanev, they know each other really well. Pete DeBoer, the Vegas Golden Knights, familiarity. So the Golden Knights are different, certainly, than the last time they faced the Dallas Stars, but there's enough crossover between the two teams that they'll have a pretty good understanding of each other. The other part, like Vegas made adjustments, so did Dallas. More at the start of the year. Like, Matt Duchene picking him up after the buyout by Nashville has really been an incredible add. He's rediscovered his game for the Dallas Stars to the point that he's a second-line center and kind of taking some heat on pressure off Wyatt Johnson, who's still really good. But Wyatt Johnson, as a young player, doesn't have to carry as much of a load. And Radek Faksa, like, they're like Vegas, really good down the middle. Jamie Benn's had a renaissance year, and he's the old guy on a line with Logan Stankoven. And Stankoven came up from the minors this year from the American Hockey League and really gave them a boost. So they've got some grit. They've got some Sam Steele, a good add too. He has settled into a pairing there. And then you've got the defensive pairings, Tanev and Suter. I think Tanev is a top pairing, can be a top pairing, but they've got him on the second pairing because Harley and Heiskanen are so good. Harley was just cutting his teeth last year in that series against the Vegas Golden Knights in the conference final, and Lundqvist and Lindell, your third pairing for the Dallas Stars. So in a lot of areas, they're similar to Vegas. Strong down the middle, some really good players that can make an impact, game breakers, if you will, and a solid blue line and good goaltending. And if this series goes less than six, I'll be quite honestly surprised.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting because I just talked to Dan Duvin the last hour, and it's a heavyweight tilt, and you get it in the first round. I think no matter who Vegas was going to play, it was going to be a heavyweight tilt. But, I mean, this, you get a repeat of the conference final. I mean, it's early in the playoffs, and if you're the Dallas Stars, I'm sure you're probably still thinking about last season and how you'd like to get revenge. But I think in the same breath, you're also saying, man, this is our reward for being the best team in the Western Conference. We've got to play the Golden Knights in the first round. By the way, Radek Faksa, you mentioned him.
No.
He is the answer to a trivia question involving the Golden Knights. And the question would be the very first player to score a hat trick at T-Mobile Arena. And it was Radek Faksa, year one.
Well, very, let's leave those kind of notes to a minimum, please.
Well, I'm just saying, a very unlikely hat trick.
True.
But it was the first one that I'd seen at T-Mobile. Well, first one anyone's seen at T-Mobile. So, yeah, I think it's a series where there's a lot of star power, which I think is why the NHL made it the primetime game on the West Coast, and why it's a primetime game in Dallas, 8:30 puck drop for them on Monday. But I think Dodonov will be back for the series, a guy that we're familiar with here.
Coming off the injury,
You did mention Pavelski, and Joe Pavelski. He's like the ageless wonder, 39 years old. He doesn't seem to age. He still had a phenomenal season this year, 67 points for him on the season at 39. The guy, I feel like he's going to play for another 4 or 5 years when I watch him.
I don't know about that. But I will say this. Vegas did a really good job controlling his impact in the Western Conference Final last year. His strength is he can win some puck battles, but his obvious contribution is in front of that. And he can tip pucks, he can go after rebounds, he can find loose pucks, and he's able to just get to certain areas where you don't expect a player to get to. And the high tip, where you're closer to the top of the circles, not a puck being high, but a high tip or a presence right in front of the goaltender with the deflections. That is an area that is tough to defend with a player that just has that ability with that coordination, being able to read the defenseman. He's arguably the best in the National Hockey League at it. Vegas kept him in check. That'll be important this year, along with the Robertsons and the Segans, who's been really good, going down the Stankoven, Rupa Hintz. I can't believe that he was so far down my list of players. Wyatt Johnson. They've got a lot of players that can get it done, but when you need a goal from at a dirty time. Like, Dallas is also a shot volume team. We saw that when Pete DeBoer was coaching the Vegas Golden Knights. They will direct everything towards the net, and that helps a player like Pavelski. If you can check his stick, then you'll be able to handle him a lot more, limit his influence. And for the first time in 7 years, Vegas is kind of a match for that role that Pavelski plays. Not that they go head-to-head, but Vegas can lean on Tomas Hertl to go to the front of the net, tip pucks, dig hole rebounds, create havoc with a net front presence and a screen. And I'm looking forward to seeing that part of the Golden Knights game, not just on the power play, but 5-on-5, seeing how that's able to grow after playing his first six games with Vegas.
Yeah, I think the addition of him has really improved Vegas in an area that we haven't talked about, and that's the power play. I mean, their power play is night and day with yep. him and Hanifin.
I talked to Kelly McCrimmon, by the way. He was on the Scripps Sports Spur Game Show last night. And I said it wasn't a let's go solve the power play type thing when you picked up Mantha and Hanifin and Hertl. But the three of them have combined to have an impact in that. And he admitted that the power play hasn't been what they wanted this year, but it's looked a whole lot better lately and gives them a lot of confidence that it can provide certain surges during games in the series.
Yeah, the formula seems to be put him in the dot, let him win the faceoff, and then he gets to the front of the net. And good things seem to happen when they do that. I think he's winning his power or his faceoffs. It's something like 70% of the faceoffs that he's winning. Like, I don't think we've ever had a player here who wins faceoffs. And I mean, I don't know what his career numbers are. I don't know if that's an anomaly.
Well, Golden Knights have good guys in the draw.
Yeah, William Carlson.
William Carlson, Chandler Stevenson.
Yeah, both over 50% for the
certainly.
Season. Eichel is capable.
Yeah, but Hertl, his numbers in those six games, it's like at a pace that you can't maintain.
Well, we got the first look at that yeah. in the Vancouver game where they had him take five straight faceoffs and he won, I think, four of the five.
And I mentioned the other day, there wasn't a lot of practice in that. It's just that's just a skill.
Yeah, yeah.
That he because coming. During his rehabilitation, and then when you're out there with a couple of other players, you're not practicing faceoffs. Certainly, who knows you're out there with? You might be another defenseman or a defenseman. And when he got back into the regular group with the red jersey on, I didn't see him doing a lot. So I think it's going to be a challenge. But with Kelly mentioning to me that he believes this Golden Knights squad is better than last year's. That jumped out at me. He also prefaced it by saying, hey, it doesn't guarantee anything. Like, Dallas is a pretty good hockey club. At the time, we didn't know it was Dallas, so Edmonton. Like, there's no we're better than last year, so we're automatically going to be able to get through and challenge for another Stanley Cup deep into the spring. But I thought it was interesting that you got that from the Golden Knights general manager.
Yeah, it certainly kind of makes you feel pretty confident about where things are going into the postseason. I know some fans are probably a little disappointed that they finished eighth in the conference, but this team is fully capable of going on another run. There's nothing I see that makes me think they can't.
They won three games against Dallas during the regular season. Took all three games, but yeah. They haven't played each other in a long time.
Since December.
So it's, I don't know, there's no spillover from that. Edmonton, there was a recent meeting which people would cite as to the Oilers have an edge with the way they handled the Golden Knights a week and a half ago. That's not even close to being the case with the Golden Knights. And then look at the difference in what the hockey clubs are. Dallas added a great defender in Chris Tanev. The Vegas Golden Knights made three additions in the form of Anthony Mantha, 6'5" winger. The appearance of Noah Hanifin on the blue line, who can log great minutes and can run your power play and has been effective. And then Tomas Hertl, who there's nobody knows him better than Pete DeBoer, who coached Hertl for the first number of seasons in the National Hockey League and the impact. So I think Bruce Cassidy loves to say you prepare and then you play game one. And then the series really starts the morning after game one, when both teams go back and start adjusting their game plans and the players know what to expect on a more intimate level. That's certainly going to be the case, I think, as much as any other series between Dallas and Vegas.
Yeah, I think from that perspective, there's always that adage about, especially starting on the road, that the series doesn't really begin until someone wins a road game. I think the Golden Knights have a real opportunity to walk out of Dallas with a split.
They're not going to be intimidated, and they've got great vibes from that building. They haven't. They closed out the Western Conference Final there last year, and they won in there this year. So,
yeah,
I think that's positive. I'm going to make an executive decision. Can we put game ratings to the side? Because it wasn't really a game. Like the result, I know it dictated who they're going to play,
but I don't think it meant anything.
No, it was all about, quite honestly, it was all about getting to 100 points behind Jonathan the Marchessault scoring.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I was following, Marchessault being first and foremost. And he had a wonderful opportunity in the opening minutes of the second period, the one-timer. Of all the great chances he had last night, that was the one that goes in 10 times out of 7 opportunities. It was that much of a look, and Lucas Dostal was great on it. So can we park the game ratings for today, and then we'll get back into it with the start of the Stanley Cup
playoffs? Listen, I'm not going to lose any sleep if we don't do game ratings.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with one-timers, and we're going to walk through the 8 first-round series for you and bring you up to date on a couple of other happenings around the National Hockey League, including a quote or two from the Arizona situation and it becoming official from the National Hockey League. It's the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
National Hockey League made it official. Gary Bettman was in Phoenix today and was part of a press conference with Alex Morello, the Coyotes owner, or the former owner of the Coyotes franchise, which has now been transferred over to Salt Lake City. It's weird because they took the Coyotes and they're giving it to Morello, the Arizona owner, but it's going to be in sabbatical, basically. And then they're granting a new franchise to Salt Lake City with all of Arizona's players. Does that make sense to you?
No.
But that's the way it's going.
Do
you understand how that's occurring?
Yeah, it's
all of Arizona's assets go to Salt Lake City, but the Coyotes stay in Arizona, just won't be active for a little bit.
Yeah, they're almost in hibernation.
Yeah.
And I have read that it is possible that they could come back. I think, what did Gary Bettman say? A year and a half notice, and they could return.
Well, they just got to get the rink sorted out.
Yeah, and I hope, because I used to live there. I used to go to their games. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. I hope that at some point we do see the Coyotes again. I won't hold my breath, but It's a bittersweet day for the city of Phoenix, but it's a new beginning for the city of Salt Lake. So I think the way I look at it, I'm sad for Arizona, but I'm happy for Salt Lake. And Bill Foley, I played in the first hour. He talked to Chris Matthews from Channel 8 last night, and he said that they're going to get the Phoenix market, so he's happy about that.
Yep. It's a great TV market.
Oh, he said, time to build a fan base down there.
Yeah. I think he'll be aggressive with that.
I think, for years, they've been doing the bus tour up through the mountain states, Montana, Idaho. spent some time up in Salt Lake, preseason games in Salt Lake City. I think bus tour through Phoenix, Scottsdale, Paradise Valley. Maybe you'll be on some of those.
Oh, it's been talked about. Not just with me, but we're all kind of like, oh, Arizona bus trip. Let's go.
Unfortunately, a little hot to play golf, but I think if there's a golf trip involved, you'll somehow find your way on that bus.
That's a great TV market, one of the largest in the country, which is why the National Hockey League has been so loyal to Phoenix. But the other part is Scripps Sports already has a TV station there, and they were the TV provider of the Arizona Coyotes. So the Golden Knights will just go on that channel where Phoenix and Arizona hockey fans are already used to getting their hockey coverage. You don't have to cultivate a viewing there, viewing habit there. That's a really big part of the advantageous position of Vegas going there.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did the preseason game up at that arena a couple years ago?
Which in Salt Lake City, at the Delta Center, yes.
Yeah. How was it? How were the sight lines and everything?
The sight lines are obstructed in a couple of areas. The lighting was the big part. The lighting is really unique because that building was lit for an NBA court, which is much smaller than 200 by 80 in a rink. So there were shadows in dark areas, which made difficult for cameras to get the proper exposure. And then they had these high platforms in the corners for cameras to shoot the NBA games. Those are all coming down. They were semi-permanent, but those will all come down, and they'll find other places to get those angles for NBA games because they would get right in the way of a hockey audience, a major obstruction in the two corners. And I was told, I got this last night just talking with a couple of TV people that are in the know, that the Delta Center has started the renovations to make it hockey friendly already. That means basically all new lighting and then some of these different areas at the Delta Center, which was the Delta Center way back when. Then it was called something else, and now it's the Delta Center.
Yeah, I actually saw the Utah Jazz play the New York Knicks when it was the Delta Center many, many years ago. So it's an older building, about 20 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's a great location in Salt Lake City because it's literally like right downtown.
Right downtown. Last time I was there, they were doing a UFC card there. Let's get into the first round matchups, okay? But Patrick Kane doesn't sound like he's going back to Detroit. That's interesting. He loved it there. The Red Wings loved him. But they've got some unrestricted free agents that they got to take care of. And then a handful of UFAs. They've got some restricted free agents and UFAs. And if he does go back, it sounds like it'll be later in the summer once they get a bunch of things sorted out. So a little surprised to hear that because everybody was very happy about that. And Jacob Markstrom in Calgary, non-committal about his future with the Flames. Doesn't know, but what he does know is that he loves winning hockey games. Now, if you're in a semi-rebuild, that doesn't sound like he's excited about staying there. And he wasn't thrilled about how things were handled at the trade deadline. Noah Dobson's going to return to the lineup for the New York Islanders for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Series against the Carolina Hurricanes. And Aaron Ekblad will be in the lineup for the Florida Panthers when they open up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Okay, we got to fly through these first round predictions.
Okay,
here we go. Vegas, Dallas.
Vegas.
Okay, I'm with you there. I like an 8 seed. Not an 8 seed, but it's an 8 seed.
Yeah,
upsetting the Dallas Stars. I appreciate it. They were really close games last year. There's not a lot to choose between these hockey clubs, but I'll take Vegas getting healthier. Kelly McCrimmon is going to speak tomorrow morning, everybody, 10:45 before the Golden Knights practice for his traditional playoff availability. Most managers do this. Kelly McCrimmon no different. So we'll get an update on things on that front. But hopefully Vegas can ice a more healthy team than we saw down the stretch, certainly last night. Winnipeg, Colorado, you've got a 2-3 there with Winnipeg, the home team.
I like Winnipeg.
Yeah. As a Manitoban, you're always waiting for the Jets to break your heart. So I'll go with Winnipeg, but I'm expecting Colorado to win.
What worries me is Colorado's goalie situation.
Yeah. You know what they're calling him? Forgiev, because he gives up four per game. That I got that from somebody in the office. I won't say who, because they didn't give me permission to. But that was what the fans were calling a lot. That's a little uncalled for. Well, you've got the Vezina Trophy winner in Hellebuck.
Right, right.
So I'll go Winnipeg. I'll take Vancouver against Nashville. Two teams that were outside looking in last year. And this is a division winner, surprise in Vancouver and Nashville, which went on the big run to get in.
Yeah, I like Nashville. I think they're a very physical team, and I think they're going to beat up the Canucks.
All right, because it's so hard to beat a team three times in a row, I'll side with Los Angeles to upset Edmonton. Ooh. I know that goes against the grain in this 2-3 and what Edmonton was able to do to rescue their season. But for Edmonton to beat LA three straight years in the first round would be cruelty in hockey.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Edmonton in that one. I just think too much firepower.
Yeah, I just wanted to be a little bit different there, because there's a lot of upset. This is the year of the lower seed. I've said it. And I didn't want to start taking all favorites in this. So I've got two lower seeds beating two higher seeds in the Western Conference, and you've got three favorites winning. Rangers against Washington in the East.
Rangers.
Yeah, it seems might be the most lopsided one. Charlie Lindgren of the Washington Capitals going to play goal for the not like he's going to play left wing, but the goaltender for the Washington Capitals. You know the interesting part about that?
No.
His brother plays for the New York Rangers.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they were brothers.
Yeah. Well, imagine mom and dad watching that. Carolina, I'll take the Rangers. I'm with you on that. Carolina versus the New York Islanders. A lot of people thinking this one is just ripe for an upset.
I'm one of them. I like the Islanders, and every year it seems like there's a shocker in the playoffs. I think this is going to be the one. I think Carolina, if they get through, they might go all the way to the final, but I could also see them losing to the Islanders. So I'm gonna pick the upset here. I'm gonna go with New York.
You know what I like about Carolina? They have players that can break open a game this year, like the Gensel acquisition. I like they've addressed a need that has cost them the last couple. Tampa Bay, Florida.
Well, you didn't pick your winner.
Sorry. I'm gonna take the Islanders.
Ooh, the two of us going with the Islanders.
Yeah.
I think Florida is going to the Stanley Cup Final. I think they're going to go back, so I think they're going to take care of Tampa.
Okay, I'll take the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're not as deep as Florida, but this is a vicious series. This is one of the great rivalries in sports. So is the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Boston Bruins. I'm taking Boston.
I am as well.
I don't know whether the Toronto Maple Leafs can defend well enough in crunch time. They are so deep up front there. John Tavares, 29 goals, and people are mocking his salary compared to goals. I'm like, what? Does everybody have to score 50 goals on that team?
Yeah, they make it sound like he's terrible.
Yeah.
Guys, he'd be the best player on a lot of teams.
I want Boston to win because they're going with a goalie rotation, at least last I looked. And I would love for that to become a thing.
It'd be fun.
It'd be great. Those are one-timers. News notes from around the National Hockey League. Catching up with Chapman's next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Oh, Christopher.
Oh, hi, Darren. So today, last time, I will be hosting the show. At least for the near future, Ryan should be back on Monday. So for those who are wondering, worrying, he will be back on Monday. And
great job, by the way, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And he'll be out at Stadium Swim at the Circa, which is really cool. They're doing the watch party for the playoffs, watching it on the 143-foot screen. And supposedly the weather is going to be phenomenal. Like bathing suit and actually in the pool type weather.
Yeah. I'll be in Studio 31. thinking I should be at Circa.
Yeah.
Stadium Swim.
Kind of wishing you were at Circa.
Yeah. Like nothing would be better than me rocking this body out there.
A cool sculpted body.
Game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, I've got that dropped, by the way.
In an alluring sculpted body.
There it is.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you were doing the commercial for. A car. I think
car
it was like
commercial.
Acura or Cadillac. And yeah, had to cut that and keep it safe.
Alluring sculpted body. That doesn't really flow off the tongue. But
not describing myself, that's for sure.
Well, it's sculpted.
Well, and that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. Not chiseled.
No.
But there's some sculpture
to
it.
If you're talking about watermelon down in the belly, yeah.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks for everything.